are not following Muhammad on that easy, because so this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits us to say, to save the life
of
a Muslim.
Brother Habib said, how can it be a siddiq if you also lie?
That's taqiyya. See, there's a difference between
So there's this is another form of lying, but it's permissible.
Taqiyya, like how my brother stated, it's, you know, you have that fear, and if you show off, it's not, it doesn't only go back to lying, to saying that no, I'm not Muslim or I'm not Shia, right? It goes back to the fact of you know, having fear and not doing some actions and having to lie in some situations. So yeah, it's more general. But what I want to say is that there's this topic of muwarat, where you, it's not lying. For example, I tell you, I don't have no money in my hands.
What is muwarat in English, please?
I don't know the exact translation of it. That's why I didn't translate it. But I'm going to give an example. It will become very clear. For example, I'm a poor person. I'm not going to say you're a poor person, because this is the first time me doing a show. It's the third time
you shouldn't say
a
you're a poor person. Say Fanan person is a poor person, for example.
No. I want to do other thing, because that's how I bring up examples. Sorry, that's my way.
So okay, you're
example,
the poor
I come
person.
And ask you, right? And what do you say? You have money in your pockets. You have
Are
money
you asking
in your pockets.
Me for money?
Yeah.
You're a beggar.
Yeah. I have money. You have money in your pockets. But what do you do? You say, look, I have no money in my hands. What do I understand?
This is Tawriya, Sheikh.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. That he has this problem with the conflict of Tawriya and Siddiq.
Let's look at the concept of lying and Tawriya in one, let's say, bucket.
That's what I told him.
And
put taqiyya
aside.
Yeah. That's what I want to say. That this person can still have taqiyya, can still be doing taqiyya, and still be called a Siddiq. Mm-hmm. Right? Why? Because this person is not going to have to lie. When they tell him, are you a Shia? What does he say? I'm a Muslim. For example. Right, so you are.
So you're
not lying.
You technically don't lie.
You're not lying. No,
technically.
You're telling the truth.
But you're withholding some parts of the truth.
Confusing him. You're
You're confusing him by withholding some parts of the truth.
Yeah, exactly. So
and that is not a lie.
For example, your child tells you, "I want something. I want bring me some chocolates, some sweets." What do you tell him? You want sweets? So he thinks that you're going to get him sweets. Well, you're not going to get him sweets. You just asked him, "Do you want sweets?"
So you're describing manipulation.
In some aspects, not manipulation.
You're
illusioning the person.
Yeah, well, that's another name. This is illusion and manipulation, if you will.
Look, whatever you know is not. It's not compulsory for you to say whatever you know. Sometimes you know something, but you don't need to say it to anybody.
Not everything that you know has to be said.
Well, not everything has to be said. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, because then you are asked, you can answer to the extent that your addressee is in need of that.
Right.
You see, so you know many things, even from your own personal life, you know many things, but I don't know any of that. But I mean, if I ask you something, you answer me very generally, so it means that I don't need to get into the details of your life then.
Right.
But so you don't tell me whatever you know about yourself, like to say.
Yeah,
so
this it's is private. Exactly, it's my private life.
The way that Sheikh actually presented with Tawriya is this way. But taqiyya, if I'm not mistaken, we have it even in the life of the infallibles.
They used to eat.
Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if I'm not mistaken, says taqiyya is deen wa deen abai.
Is the religion, the path of me and my fathers.
My religion and the religion of my fathers and grandfathers or like ancestors. So it means that they have been living with this. So if we call it, let's say, a sort of lying, then nothing will be remained from even for Quran itself, because it's a great verse of the Holy Quran.
Well, taqiyya, it goes back to protection.
Yeah, protection one soul.
Keeping a cover, keeping a veil over yourself and your affairs.
Yeah.
So we cannot really. So that's to commit.
That's
not a lie.
So it is totally different. For protecting one soul.
So that's taqiyya then.
Yeah.
So let's go back to this question I want to ask Sheikh Habib. So I am in Israel. That's to make it more spicy. Right?
So wait
Very
for
nice
the brothers
place.
To come. Wait for the brothers to come.
this is an example. I'm in occupied Palestine, of course. But an Israeli policeman comes and asks me, and he tries to ask me about my political beliefs. And you can believe me. Like, I do the best lies. Like, I'm the best lying I've ever done in my entire life. Like, I even curse the prophets. I curse the household. All the household of the Prophet, I curse Islam. I may even curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it permissible what I'm doing to protect myself from harm? by cursing all of these infallibles and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The topic of bara'a, right? I think that's where you're going. The topic of, you know, Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam stating that if you have to curse me or do curse me, then if you have to curse me, curse me. But if you have to do bara'a, which is...
washing your hands clean of me.
Yeah, there's a specific word for bara'a. What is it?
This other one.
Yeah, the sayings that are mentioned, even during the times of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, is that if you have to curse me, curse me. If you have to disavow for me, do not. Right? Imam Sadiq was asked this question. Is this true? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam stated no. That if I am, if you have to disavow, also disavow. Mm-hmm. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Sayyid Khu'i mentioned this in Kitab al-Bay'ah. It's available in the Mawsu'ah.
So that's in regards to the infallibles, like, of course. But what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can I, for example, say, yeah, I do not astaghfirullah.
Ammar ibn Yasir pretty much, you know, did what he did. Yani.
What did he do?
He pretty much disavowed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believed in that. He made himself that he was a believer in the two idols. Yeah,
he was an idol.
Lat al-Uzza. Yeah, he made himself that he's a believer in Lat.
So is that taqiyya then?
That is taqiyya.
Yeah, exactly. This verse of Quran that I refer to actually revealed in this specific occasion. So the story of Amr bin Yasir actually was exactly on this very occasion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even noticed all the other Muslims that you are allowed to disavow from Allah or the Prophet or all the sanctities, that in case that you're in trouble and your life is in danger, you are allowed to do that. So it means that we have this permission from Allah's side, not from, let's say, people or from anyone else.
Right. So just to gather around, just to go back to this topic of lying. Lying in itself, it is not allowed unless it is for the benefit, or we said it was the taqiyya, protecting your life and so on and so forth. I just want to perhaps make this, want to paint a picture for you. We are in a war, us Muslims against the Munafiqeen or whoever they may be, or infidel, whatever it is. We are in a war, and we have a propaganda machine, right? Tablighat. We use this machine to, one, for our own troops to encourage morale. Perhaps we may lie about some battles that we had and say, yeah, we won. We had no casualties, only like 5 casualties. When in reality, we lost like maybe thousands. Mm-hmm. But we tell our troops, we won. It was a great victory. And we also use this machine to discourage our enemies.
I'm noticing something that you are referring to, the saying that إِلَّا فِي ثَلَاثٍ. And you have it, I think, in front of you, if I'm not wrong. Anyway, so, at the end of the day, it's something...
Don't expose me. I'm trying to set you up. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. Because I'm trying to help you open the subject, because listeners do not know.
like how you stated, it's an agreed-on factor. These three have been agreed on by Sunnis and Shias alike.
Three what?
The three. The lying in the case of fixing between your brothers and promising your family some situations. And, of course, in war, khadi'a fil harb.
Right.
And war is something very important for every government, for every society, especially in Islam, where most of its laws, when you look at its laws, it's government-based. Mm-hmm. You need a government to have, you know, properly be able to apply the Islamic laws available.
Right. So you believe in a government in Islamic society?
Yes, but not in... at the end of the day, we're living in a society, even though we're in Ghaiba Sughra, Ghaiba Kubra,
right.
We're in the occultation, where we have no true leader out there to, you know,
what
rule
is
us.
Your definition of a true leader?
He means the imam. I mean, the imam who is...
What is your definition of a true leader?
Of course, Imam al-Adil that we have, for example, in the topic of...
Imam, you mean the infallible imam?
The infallible imam.
But we have the deputies of Imam, alhamdulillah, at the time of cultation.
That comes to, you know, debate into various topics in fiqh, inshallah ta'ala.
That is another topic, so
yes.
I'm just going to stop you there.
Yes.
Let's go back. I'm in a war.
Yes. So it's very vital for you to control it by any means. And sometimes by any means, this is accepted in various religions, views, looks. You're going to get defeated. The ideology, your goal, your mission that you put forward is going to get defeated. So it comes down to lying to promote, like how you stated, propaganda, to promote will, sheer will. To
morale, and to support the troops.
And that is to break your enemies, for example, lying that you have some kinds of special weaponry. We have this kind of technology, for example. And that brings in fear to your enemy, for example. It helps you in war. And you need this in war. That really goes back to politics. I hope you guys watch Game of Thrones. I think you'll learn that from there.
Brother, no, I understand, but that is one side of it. But what about lying to our own troops?
For what reason? Bring in morale. You're giving them power.
Yep,
will.
To reinforce them, to stay in the battle, not to actually feel. Look, one of the ways, feeling the defeat is more greater than the defeat itself.
Right.
Feeling and sensing the defeat itself.
Confidence is broken,
so
you're broken.
We have not let the confidence and the, let's say, greatness of our troops to get damaged.
So we lie to support the morale, to encourage them, and not for.
If you remember, we said one of the cases is the urgency. This is the urgency case.
Right.
So
right.
In these times, we are allowed to actually reinforce our troops and the troops of the Islamic Ummah.
And I want to expand on that. In these times, is it in all cases of war, or is it just in this very specific case that I painted and made?
What do you mean
for
exactly?
Lying to our troops. For example,
No. Only in the cases that actually might lead to the, let's say, to the collapse of the Islamic troops. Let's say the believers, the group of the believers. Right. But in other cases, no, we are not allowed to tell them any lie because lying is lying and it is known as a sin again. Right. So
that goes back to that goes back to the commander. It goes back to him. Seeing that,
and
whether this was the greater cause or not, what is the greater cause?
And with that, we'll unfortunately have today's program because we are out of time. I thank you for your inputs, brothers. It has been very fruitful to be a part of this discussion. I hope it was also beneficial to the listeners.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest night, shows me right from wrong in the world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
The limelight.
The ice sheet lost about 166 billion tons during the 12-month period ending in August. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Jessica Corbett, journalist. This article is published under the heading Greenland Ice Sheet Shrunk for 25th year straight in 2021, a report shows. Stay tuned for the details, please. Is the 25th year in a row in which Greenland's ice sheet lost more mass during the course of the melting season than it gained during the winter. That's according to the latest report from Polar Portal, a website featuring observations from Danish research institutions that monitor the Greenland ice sheet and the sea ice in the Arctic. The report explains that while the early part of the summer was cold and wet, with unusually heavy and late snowfall in June, which delayed the onset of the melting season, July saw a heat wave that led to a considerable loss of ice. The Greenland ice sheet lost about 166 billion tons of ice during the 12-month period that ended in August, which is near the annual average since the mid-1980s, the report notes. From September 1986 to August 2021, it has lost about 5,500 billion tons, contributing 1.5 centimeters to the average global rise in sea levels of about 12 centimeters. The ice sheet ended this season with a net surface mass balance of about 396 billion tons, although that makes the current season the 28th lowest in the 41-year time series, or a somewhat average year. The report highlights how perspective changes in line with climate change, explaining that in late 1990s, the same figure would have been regarded as a year with a very low surface mass balance in the climate picture at that time. The report explains various observations in detail, including unusual weather during the 2021 Arctic summer, extreme melting periods despite average temperatures, and sea ice dropping to its second lowest level last July. Last year was also notable, the report says, because precipitation at Summit Station, which is located at the top of the ice sheet at an altitude of 3,200 meters above sea level, was registered in the form of rain. When the rain was recorded in August, the U.S. National Snow and Ice Data Center noted that there is no previous report of rainfall at this location, which reaches 3,260 meters in elevation. The historic event was also highlighted by Michelle McChrystal, a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Manitoba, when a team she led published Arctic rainfall research in November. She said, "The fact that we are getting rainfall on the summit of Greenland right now and that we are maybe going to get more rainfall into the future, it kind of staggers me." McChrystal's team wrote that the transition from snow to rain dominated the Arctic in the summer and autumn is projected to occur decades earlier and at a lower level of global warming, potentially under 1.5 degrees Celsius, with profound climatic, ecosystem, and socioeconomic impacts. Their paper came mere months after Niklas Bohrs of Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research said that a research team he led found evidence that the central western part of the Greenland ice sheet has been destabilizing and is now close to a critical transition. We are at the brink, and every year with CO2 emissions continuing as usual, exponentially increases the probability of crossing the tipping point, Bohrs warned. It might have passed the tipping point, but it's not clear. However, our results suggest there will be sustainability-enhanced melting in the near future, which is worrying.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, for big and small.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahalili and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program we discuss problems, issues and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are based upon the holy book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today, we'll be discussing the problems and obstacles we will be facing when we are raising our children, and how we can solve these problems and obstacles. Dear Sayyid, please teach us how we can solve these obstacles.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'inir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajam. One of the major obstacles that we are facing today and a lot of parents face, and that is mental pressure. We are putting a great amount of pressure mentally on our kids, and that is very distractive for them to be in such an environment. Now, the kids inside the house, when they face so much pressures, now, they need to find a way to release this kind of pressure elsewhere.
Right.
Now, if the house itself is a pressured house, relationship between the parents is not very stable.
It's strained.
Parents is always constantly yelling and nagging. Parents constantly pressuring their kids to do things. Now, the kids feel that they need to take it out elsewhere. So they would go outside with their friends. And they release it in a way or another, either through smoking, either through drugs, either through music, either through part, whatever.
They
the
need
kids
an outlet.
Can find a way to extract this this pressure from himself, they would do that. So this is a very devastating effect. And according to some studies that have been released in October 2000, They said that most of kids at the age of 8, they go through this sort of pressure. Now, an 8-year-old kid should have no pressure in life.
Right.
Why would they have pressure? And when they done over 200 personal interviews with kids who are 8 years of age in the University of City University in London, they found that these kids, they said they have some sort of pressure and stress.
Right.
And so we start to wonder, why would kids at this age have such stress level? And obviously that was in 2000. Now we're in 2020. Right. So 20, at least 2021. We're going to become in one more, few more months, and we're going to hit 2022.
Right.
So that's almost 12 years. So you can imagine that number would multiply. And you can see that year by year, these kind of pressures do not get relieved. They get worse and worse. So as parents, we need to become very aware that the stress we cause in the house, it will play its role on the child and will become distracted. Even, like we said, as early as 8.
Right. And with that, you say, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing the obstacles we face when raising our children and how to solve them. Just before going on a break, we said that according to research from the year 2000, children as young as 8 years old were facing increased pressure in their lives. Dear Sayyid, do we have any suggestion as to what this pressure might be? Or is it just a something cumulative from different factors?
When we said that the study been done 2000, right? Now we're 2022, so that's almost 22 years, right? So I only said in the last 12 years, you can imagine how the number went high. Right. Now, with this pressure, sometimes as parents, we ourselves go through pressure of life, right? Now, me as a father, for example, let's say I don't have a job. I don't have a source of income. Now, that will put a pressure on me. Now, what do I take my pressure out on?
Right.
Usually I have my wife, right? Or my kids.
My children.
My children. So it shows, my pressure manifests itself elsewhere.
Right.
The mother herself, she might be going through a problem of her own. She wants to, you know, steam out all this stress, and she takes it out on the children. So then we pass it on. So the child has no problem of his own, and then all of a sudden he has to deal with something else. And sometimes, so based on the pressure that me and my partner face in life, based on these things, we will take it out on our children. Or sometimes the children themselves are being bad. I get stressed out. I get too much pressure, and then I take it back on them. So it becomes like a cycle.
Right, an evil cycle. Right.
Yeah. So as parents, we need to be very aware that this is a dangerous thing and it's causing children a great deal of pain and suffering. If that grows with them, it will definitely turn into a mental problem.
And this pressure that children are facing, is it from the advancement of technology? Is it from grades?
No. So it's a multiple things, but at least for now, we're talking about the parents themselves.
Right.
Okay, now other things might cause stress to the child. But at least in the house, from his parents, there shouldn't be any types of stress. So if he gets stressed out elsewhere, he should come to the house and relax.
Right.
The house should be a source of
that
comfort.
That should be his outlet.
Yeah. It shouldn't be the opposite. It shouldn't be the place where he gets charged and he leaves to the outside world and release his pressure points. No. The house should be always maintained. Now, when it comes to stress in the family and pressure, there are many things we can do to elevate and relieve such stress, right? Now, right. One of the things that we don't pay attention to is that we are living in a very noisy world these days. We're constantly, there's something in the background. I don't know if you have noticed.
Right, yeah. Either especially in big cities.
Yeah, it's like I can't remember the last time I was just sitting by myself with no noise. Either TV is on, right. Either my phone is on,
right.
Either my laptop is on. There's something is on.
Right.
If it's not mine, it's my kids. If it's not my kids, it's my wife. So there's something constant in the back. And this kind of noise constantly, it takes that sense of serenity and that sense of quietness.
Right.
And thus you constantly what? You're constantly charged and stressed out and you have all this pressure.
Right, right. And with that dear said, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing the obstacles we face when raising our children and how to solve them. Dear Sayyid, just before we went on a break, you said that we live in a very, very noisy world. Please continue where you left off.
Because we live in a very noisy world, and sometimes that contributes to the amount of stress that we are facing. In fact, a lot of it is because of that. Now they're right. Talking about dopamine release in the brain and
right.
All these things that happens because we are so addicted to our devices. Right. And obviously, the more dopamine release in your brain, the more withdrawal you have. And, you know, so now your system is out of balance
right.
Due to dopamine release. And what happens is you become very agitated. You become easily angered. You become
right.
Very sensitive.
Right.
Why? Because your hormones are not balanced no more. Because you get so much dopamine release.
You crave it and you depend on it.
Not just crave it, you depend on it, but your body is drained out of it.
Right.
Right? And then you just, like, you know, it's like, have you seen this withdrawal symptoms when a person quits smoking?
Right.
And the first few days,
from
like,
a curled circuit quitting.
You talk right. To them and they blow in your face.
Right.
Same thing. So we live kind of in this world where all these things have drained us. And we don't have. So what I say is, like, to create a bit of sense of, a quietness and serenity in the house. Turn off everything. Turn off all these devices.
Right.
And have a bit of quiet time. You know, sometimes I turn off the power and I put a few candles just to have that kind of comfort where I have nothing.
Right.
It's
right.
Kind of relaxing. It's, you know, for 5-10 minutes, it gives you a bit. So as a family, try to turn off everything and just have a family time together.
Right. So eliminate the things that are stressful.
That creates stress itself. That
right.
Create pressure itself. And like I'm telling you, these things create a lot of pressure. Now, not to even mention the psychological effect that you get about the things that you're already seeing anyway.
Right,
because everything
yeah.
That you see, obviously not everything is innocent. So
right.
A lot of things actually play a big role and they deliberately
right, right.
Trying to mess up with your mind. So
right.
That will create even more points. So I'm saying, you know what? Turn everything off. Go out for a walk. Go to the park. Enjoy nature. Do something as a family without all these distractions.
Right.
Release all your pressure, right? Don't stay in the house and constantly be there. Even though I think I remember a study done way back about TV itself. It, you know, when you put TV, it emits all these rays.
Right.
They said always keep a door open or a window open. So there's constantly the air is refreshed. Because if these rays gets emitted from the TV, it creates a sense of pressure. A person becomes always pressured and nervous and
right.
What have you. So turn them off, go for a walk, go to the park, have family time, have a quiet time, enjoy yourselves. At least you get to have this bit of release instead of just constantly being agitated. And also have a bit of practice here and there, do a bit of exercise and so on and so forth.
Dear Sayyid, I will unfortunately have to interrupt you because we are out of time for today's program. Dear Sayyid, I thank you for your time and for your insightful knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If the dear listeners have any questions or other relevant comments and feedback, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. You can also visit our website, parstoday.com. Alternatively, you can also find us on the various social media accounts we have on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
In Germany, tasty bits of crumbs are all it takes for hundreds of sheep and goats to participate in the campaign to encourage vaccination against COVID-19. 700 farm animals were arranged into a 100-meter-long syringe in a pasture south of Hamburg. The shepherd says she spent several days practicing the herd. The sheep and goats were lured by pieces of bread, which they quickly gobbled up after being released into the field. Helping the shepherd was an organizer who works with a flock to run team training exercises for companies. He says they wanted to do something to grab people's attention and encourage them to get COVID jabs.
Well, if I were to just write it on Facebook, nobody would notice it. And my job is to have company teams leading some thousand sheep from A to B, and I have noticed how enthusiastically the sheep are received, and that it simply reaches people deep inside, which is perhaps not possible rationally, with rational arguments.
Etzold says sheep bring out the soft side of people and hopes that this will help convey the message. So far, the campaign has received a positive response, with videos of the sheep arrangement going viral. Official data shows Germany has the lowest inoculation rate among Western European nations. This is mainly attributed to vaccination hesitancy, as well as a small percentage who vehemently oppose getting the jab. Technological change is accelerating today, with robots and artificial intelligence making fast inroads into human lives. A consumer electronics show in Las Vegas is the latest example of the same. From lifelike baby dolls to full-grown human-like robots are on the display. They not only write, cry, laugh, and blink, but some of them speak and react when you tell them something. The most interesting thing about these robots is their reactions, which are just like humans, seeming as if they are real people. The robot makers say soon people will not be scared of these human-faced machines being among them.
Humans are so complex, so making a robot exactly like a human is almost impossible. If we did that, then you wouldn't be scared of it, because you'd just assume it's a human. But you get that uncanny valley just before, where it doesn't quite move like a human, doesn't quite express itself or emote or talk like a human. And that's the uncanny valley. That's the scary bit. If you go further back to something that looks less like a human, then suddenly you like it a lot more.
The robot makers hope that the way these robots are made would help even doctors how to treat and confront children, for instance. They also hope that by adding more human characteristics to these robots, the machines will be at the service of humans more than before. Let's see what's happening in one of the world's oldest festivals. It's called Black and White Carnival, celebrated every year in the Colombian city of Pasto. But it has a lot more than what its name may suggest. The carnival, full of vibrant colors and fun, livens up when people perform music too. Those in attendance even threw talcum powder and foam to add more doses of joy. More things to visit too. Colorful monuments and floats are brought to the streets. An artisan explains what's behind one of the huge sculptures exhibited there.
This commemorates what we are going through right now in the world. The virus, that little thing that brought COVID. We have skulls, people who died, those who are reborn, children, old people, and a lady. That's the whole motif. It's called rebirth.
The event has roots in Spanish and African traditions related to the indigenous people of Colombia. The carnival is aimed at highlighting the diversity of ethnic and cultural backgrounds. Its name symbolizes unity and equality. The festival continues until January the 10th. A zoo in the Netherlands is celebrating the birth of a newborn manatee, a rare event among the endangered species, especially within the confines of captivity. The newcomer was born in a Royal Burger Zoo in a Dutch city of Arnhem. Zookeepers say the birth went smoothly, adding that this is the mother's second calf. The newborn is still too young for keepers to be able to determine its gender, but handlers hope it will be a female. That's because there are only 15 females in European zoos. Manatees are closely related to elephants and are sometimes called sea cows because of their herbivorous diet. These gentle giants are listed as vulnerable to extinction, mainly because of loss of habitat and collisions with boats. Shanghai is one of the most famous cities in the world, boasting an impressive number of tourist attractions. Now, the city is host to a new event that could draw excited visitors. The exhibition includes more than 100 items from Egypt, including 6 golden mummies. The most prized object on display is a 20-year-old female mummy with a gold mask and 2 jewels for eyes. Organizers have also put up for show original works by great European artists such as Raphael and Pablo Picasso.
Chinese astronauts on board the space station have held a unique conference with students, sending them a message that sky is the limit. They hope to inspire students to pursue their dreams and be proactive about their goals. Let's have a listen.
Every one of us went through rigorous selection and arduous training before carrying out space missions. Many people have to wait for several years, dozens of years, and even a whole life. But what deserves praise is that we have never given up, but remain true to our original aspiration, stood the loneliness, and passed the tests.
Ye, who is a first-time space traveler, also encouraged students to be brave in following their dreams. The Chinese astronauts talked about their life, work, and personal experiences. Students from Beijing, Hong Kong, and Macau were given the rare chance to ask their own questions during the Ground Space Conference. China launched Shenzhou 13 into space in October last year. The astronauts are scheduled to stay in orbit for 6 months, which will be the country's longest ever crewed mission.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life,
cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The mobile public library is back in the Afghan capital, Kabul, to bring joy to children with exciting books and games. The library reaches hundreds of children on a daily basis, seeking to expand its coverage in the coming days. Rahmatullah Baghban has more.
As the sun rises in Kabul, the Charmagh's mobile library starts a fresh mission to delight children. The library goes from zone to zone in the capital, Kabul, to spread the joy and love of reading among the Afghan children. It operates in 5 buses and has a children-friendly space. The organizers say they are happy being back for Afghan children.
That's why we want to enhance reading among children and boost their creative thinking. We have 5 mobile libraries operating across Kabul. Our services were shut for 3 months due to government change, but now they're happy that once again they can reach Kabul children. The library was sponsored by Afghan traders, but now it's out of funds and needs economic support.
I love my job here as a librarian. It's free for all. Children from different backgrounds come here to read books and play games. What I love most is watching children smiling and having fun with each other. I'm proud I can serve them with the skill I have.
Children are highly excited as they find the library right in front of their houses. Hundreds of children make daily use of initiative as most schools in Kabul lack library.
The mobile library used to come to our alley every week, but over the past 3 months, it didn't come, and we missed it so much. We are very happy that it is bringing us joy again. Nowadays that our schools are closed, we can make use of its books.
We thank Charmagh for its services. We have learned to read stories, play games, and draw pictures. We have kind teachers and have a good time with our friends.
This creative reading campaign starts as the country faced many challenges, affecting children's schooling and taking reading opportunities from them. As schools remain closed for most Afghan children, such services can be a good haven for students and book lovers. The initiative can also encourage children and bring the reading to life. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
People in the northeastern Chinese province are trying to keep alive a winter tradition going back centuries. Each year, local fishermen and women in Jilin use an ancient technique to catch fish from Chagan Lake that is sealed with a thick layer of ice. What these locals do is they drill holes through the ice and put their nets under the holes to catch fish. But to pull out those nets from the lake, they will need help from a bunch of horses.
It was my first time seeing such a scene. 5 horses drawing a turntable to gradually pull the net up to the ice surface. I felt very novel to witness this.
The technique has been listed as a cultural heritage in China. The ceremony attracts a large number of local tourists during the fishing season, which lasts until the end of February. Albino animals are rare and very vulnerable, so when you find one, you need to make sure they get all the care they need to survive. And now, Colombian vets are doing all they can to help the very first case of an albino baby, Jaguarundi, that's been rescued there. Fire department volunteers rescued this female cub in the urban areas of the Abora Valley region. The vets are now giving it primary medical attention. The baby Jaguarundi will then be transferred to a conservation park in the city of Medellin for more protection. A local expert explains why they cannot put back the animal into the wild.
At this point, this animal cannot be released to the wild due to its albino condition. It is predisposed to certain health disorders, certain disadvantages when performing in the wild. Therefore, The only alternative for it is to end his life in a park such as this.
Albino animals face many difficulties in the wild and struggle with basic survival skills. They do not have good eyesight, and due to their lack of pigmentation, they cannot camouflage. Therefore, just like endangered species, human monitoring would increase their chances of survival.
Swimming in sub-zero temperatures can be unimaginable for most people, but not for a group of athletes who've tested their skills and strength in Prague's Vltava River. 360 people from 8 countries gathered in the Czech capital to participate in an annual winter swimming event. The air temperature was minus 6 degrees Celsius, with water temperatures dipping to as low as 3 degrees. The event honors Alfred Nikodem, a Czech swimmer who braved the frigid waters in Prague for the first time in 1923, starting a tradition that has been kept alive ever since. Now the world's most powerful observatory is finally on its million-kilometer journey after several technical delays. The NASA telescope named James Webb blasted off into orbit on Saturday, heading to an outpost that's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The observatory was in the making for some 3 decades and cost about $10 billion. It left Earth enclosed in a rocket and from a launch pad in South America. The journey will last a month. The telescope is the size of a tennis court. And if everything goes according to plan, it will enter service in June. Astronomers are hoping they can learn more about the origins of the universe once it starts beaming back new clues. A school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project dubbed The Music of Recycling brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound. The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes for members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by a Spanish environmental group and is inspired by a similar orchestra in Paraguay. Allah, 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 Allah.
اون چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware. The hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar. Democracy of religion from Imam Khomeini's point of view. In response to the question that under what circumstance the qualified Islamic jurisprudent enjoys guardianship of the Islamic society, Imam Khomeini remarked that we do not intend to impose anything on our nation, and Islam has not given us the permission to exercise dictatorship. We abide by the nation's votes. We abide by whichever way that nation votes. We have no right. The Almighty and Exalted Allah has not given us the right. The Prophet of Islam has not given us the right to impose a thing on our nation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the search for Islam. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini has said that if you want to be rid of foreign entanglements, you must resort to Islam. Now, in this part of his speech, he is clearly talking about policy, and it's an interior policy of the Islamic country or Islamic state, that in the Islamic state, we should get rid of the foreign involvements. Now, in a country where you can find foreign involvements, obviously, the foreigners do not think about your country. They are not supporting your country. They are not supporting you. They are following their own policies, which are in accordance to their own benefits. Therefore, if you want yourself to be saved, if you want to follow the benefits which are for you, and you want to have a country or a state in a pure way, then obviously you need to get rid of all these involvements which are done by the foreigners.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi.
Sallallahu alayhi.
These involvements which are done by the foreigners, obviously, this will take you towards the hardship, and it will force you to not to develop or have developments. And if either they allow you to have developments, it will be in accordance to their benefits, to their own benefits. Therefore, Imam Khomeini has said that if you want to be rid of foreign involvements, you must resort to Islam. Why Islam? Because Islam is for the mankind. It is not for a specific country. It is not for a specific race. It is not for a specific people. It is for those who were created by God. When God created us, He sent Islam as a path of guidance. This Islam is the guidance. If you resort to Islam, you can get it rid of the foreign involvements, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
IRIB English Radio.